Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Pensacola State College say the school is suppressing their First Amendment freedom. Quincy Kern, a sophomore, wrote an article about a drag queen for her journalism class.
It's called Born for the Spotlight, The Rise of Vixen Valentine.
It was supposed to be published in a new arts and culture magazine produced by the school's journalism and graphic design departments. But that hit a roadblock last week.
We didn't call the fire, so here you go. The fire of the organization that is all about freedom of intellectual activity and making sure that universities in particular are allowing people to have their First Amendment expression rights protected, is now kind of at odds with, not quite at war with, Pensacola State College over an assignment where students were, you know, given the assignment and three of the students decided to do LGBTQ-related articles. And then they were told by the administration that they cannot be printed. Some of these particular words matter in this case. It's kind of been, I think, originally portrayed a little bit like they weren't allowed to do the project and like it was for the student newspaper, and both of those are inaccurate. They did complete the project, but they were not allowed to publish it in print because if the university is paying for the printing, the theory was this is going to be a violation of the Stop Woke Act of a couple of years ago. And because you're promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion, LGBT type themes. And so they were allowed to do the project, but they weren't allowed to do the printing of it because that would be PSC resources used to publish something that is contrary to Florida law. Even though that law is currently, I think, on stay because of court cases against it. But anyway, we'll come back. The details here are going to matter. So we'll come back to this in a second. WAR doing a good job of running this down yesterday. You know, we all got the press release from Fire yesterday. I was planning to talk about it. But, you know, I know Rick Outson did some work on this. And I know, you know, WAR did some work on this, particularly finding the students. So good for them.
We wrote our articles over the course of like 2 months. So everything is pretty much edited and together, but they're not printing the publication.
Kern says Dr. Brenda Kelly, the Associate Vice President of Academic Affairs at PSC, stopped the magazine from going to print.
And she said all of these have to be cut unless you remove all mention of LGBTQ. And we said we weren't going to do that because that defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah, if you scrub the content that was the basis of the article, that's essentially changing the content, and we're not going to do that. And so, you know, they're told by the administration, well, in its current form, you cannot publish it because it's viewed as promoting DEI or you know, sex-based categorizations and classifications. We'll get to what the law actually says in a second, because this is a really interesting story, by the way, for a lot of reasons that I have not mentioned yet. Second person WAR talked to, Ileana Rollins. The first one was Quincy Kern.
Ileana Rollins is a graphic design student at PSC.
My piece is called Queer Stories Rolling Forward, and I was actually extended the offer that I could have my article in the magazine if I cut out all of the LGBT mentions. I elected to have it removed because I felt like if I were to edit it down into basically nothingness, then I would be sacrificing my journalistic integrity.
Yeah, I mean, which is, I think, a very understandable reaction. The right reaction by a student working on an assignment is, you shouldn't be able to tell me that I can't write about these themes. You shouldn't be able to tell me that I can't write about traditional ethics. You shouldn't be able to tell me I have to write about, you know, this religion is good or that religion is bad. I mean, you know, if the viewpoint were the opposite, those of you who are conservatives, you'd be screaming that they were being suppressed for writing about how, you know, God's plan for marriage or whatever is right. And you'd be right to do that, just like you should be right to be concerned about, you know, if students are being told that they cannot express a viewpoint that you might disagree with. You got to protect the views of the people you disagree with. Well, they weren't told they couldn't express a viewpoint they disagree with. They were, or that the administration disagrees with, or that the state disagrees with. They were told that the state can't fund the publishing of that viewpoint, which, again, is an important distinction. Also, I don't think these students are using the most current version of the acronym
MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+.
Let's just, you know, not to mention the obvious, but let's... Sorry, I couldn't resist. All right. You got to have a little fun along the way, right? So Domenici Coletti is just in from the motherland. He's the fire representative that PSC talked to yesterday. I don't know. You got to have fun doing radio. Can't all be straight. Straight-faced. Straight-faced.
Oh, my
In this context. I don't know. Why would you say that?
MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+.
Sorry. Gosh. Okay, so... Here comes the Mr. Coletti.
The college was asked to fund the printing of that, and they said, no, we're not going to fund it, and we're not going to fund it because the Stop Woke Act prohibits us from funding this kind of content. So they didn't say you can't print this, you're not allowed to publish this information. They just said you aren't allowed to use state money. We're not going to give college money to support that. And that still looks like a problem because, again, it's all based on the viewpoint of the expression at issue here.
So what would you like PSC to do to rectify the situation?
I mean, we would like them to acknowledge that they've made a mistake here, that they have impermissibly hurt these students' First Amendment rights.
That's what triggered you, John, to laugh?
You can't make this up.
Is her asking what to rectify the situation? That's what pushed you over? You're already crying.
I know.
Your inner 12-year-old is showing, okay? But I don't judge. I'm the same. All right. So you now have the report from Channel 3. You know basically the facts of the situation. The Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression is saying that not only is PSC wrong, but they're violating the Constitution and that individual teachers might be liable if they have stood in the way of students violating the Constitution, honoring the Stop Woke Act, which is already on pause by appeals courts. All right, we'll analyze in a second. I just wanted you to know the facts first. John Pickens has traffic on the phone. Can you continue? Can you do your traffic report?
I don't know. Okay. All right, so.
I got you with the acronym mostly, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Right, okay, that started it all. All right, so let's see here. No accidents to let you know about. Looks like 98, 29, I-10, I-110, said HUD are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Okay, the response by the administration in this case, you have Brenda Kelly, who's the General Studies Associate Vice President of Academic Affairs. Her statement is, I am responding to the letter you sent Dr. Ed Meadows, President of Pensacola State College, May 1st. Please note that Dr. Mills' students completed the collaborative project without any intervention from me or any other PSC administrator. So they did in class. They did the assignment. They got credit for the assignment. No problem. I had no interactions with Dr. Mills regarding this project till after it was completed when I was informed about the articles the week before finals exams on April 28th. Dr. Mills confirmed that all graded work for the assignment had been submitted before I met her on April 29th to discuss the optional but not required printing of the magazine. Dr. Mills' academic freedom was not violated and students completed the project as assigned. So the Corsair, the publication of that magazine, that's the only issue here. It's key to understand that. But background. So at PSC, they decided that in order to comply with what they consider to be current state law, the Stop Woke Act, they would not publish pro-gay literature or pro-inclusive, you know, LGBTQ literature. I think they were probably wrong in that assessment. As a legal matter with regards to the Stop Woke Act. The Stop Woke Act does mention DEI, but that's not the focus of it. The real focus of it is race-based things, you know, critical race theory. I read through it last night because I was curious if I was misremembering this because we've had so many different things like the so-called Don't Say Gay Act, which, you know, that's not what that said anyway. But this was not about that. So I think maybe they are mistaken in their understanding of what the Stop Woke Act does and does not suppress. But let's also acknowledge that certainly the DeSantis administration and the current Board of Governors do not have, you know, strong positive feels towards LGBT issues, right? So the PSC administrators have to look at what is going to get published and therefore what is going to get paid for, not what's going on in a classroom, not as an assignment by a teacher, but what is allowed by students, which is the, you know, lowest level or the highest level of protection for freedom, the lowest level of justified intrusion, right? The state through the state college cannot be telling students what they do in their papers and their projects. That's clear. I mean, and you should you should think that, whether it's a pro-gay, anti-gay, whatever the case may be. Of course, you might run the hypo in your mind of whether if it were anti-gay, they'd be getting the same level of protection. I would like to hope that they would. From fire, they should, but I don't know. We don't have that case in front of us. But here's what I think might be going on in the minds of, again, you know, particularly Brenda Kelly, but, you know, generally PSC administration. PSC has already been criticized a fair bit for being too woke. And if we publish this, it's just more fuel for that criticism. And we're already in sort of dicey territory with the governor, and he's put people on our board that are going to come after us if we do this kind of stuff, namely Zach Smith. Because remember, Zach Smith went after Ed Meadows for having too woke of a statement on this website, participation in PBS, you know. He went after Ruthie Noel for her being on an interview where she was talking about this stuff. I mean, just completely inappropriate, the things that he has done. But he has power. And he clearly has the governor's ear. Because somehow or other, as soon as Andy Hobbs, you know, came out in support of PBS, I mean, he got removed from the board. So you have an environment of censorship at the state college, across Florida. But particularly at PSC, because, you know, Zach Smith will get you. And he's apparently got the power to get you. So if you are the people at PSC and you see these students publish the, or, you know, produce this thing, and you're being asked whether we fund the publication of it, it's not a violation of their constitutional rights not to print it. They're not entitled to the printing of it at the expense of the college, you know, or the state taxpayer. So you're not violating anybody's rights by letting them complete the assignment, but then not publishing it. On the other hand, if you do what is sort of broadly in defense of student expression, which would be to publish it, you're probably going to run up against the Zach Smiths of the world who currently have power, and maybe that winds up losing you positions, losing you funding, getting, you know, more intrusive appointees on your board, whatever the case may be. They're playing the game in a censorship oriented environment. I don't blame them for playing this game. It's the world they live in. Just like when the administration at the federal level and to some degree at the state level was pro-woke, every grant, every program had to be written with certain buzzwords that included race and diversity and sexuality and all this stuff in order to qualify for all kinds of things. And then rooting all that stuff out now has been the project of the current administration. And, you know, what many of them are saying about this criticism is it's totally off base because we were only doing that to comply with what we had to comply with then. We're only doing this in order to comply with what we have to comply with now, which is true. So, in my opinion, did PSC do anything wrong? No, probably they did what makes sense, what's smart for them. Do you have to suppress pro-gay expressions by students on college campuses? No, you do not. Do you have to publish them in some, you know, college-funded thing? No, you do not. Should you publish them? Trickier. But also worth keeping in mind here, and I bring this up only because I haven't seen anybody else put all these pieces together. Zach Smith's also on the board at UWF. Manny Diaz, who is the current president of UWF, when the Stop Woke Act was signed, if you look on the governor's press releases, now at that time he was a state senator. Quote, "I want to thank Governor DeSantis for being the most anti-woke governor in our nation," said Senator Manny Diaz Jr. "No Floridian should ever be subjected to discriminatory content or rhetoric, especially when at school or in the workplace. Florida is committed to objectively teaching our students about important historical facts and events, not indoctrination." So he was very much in favor of HB7 at the time and, you know, supported it and advocated for it. And I just read you a quote by him. That's the one that Fire is criticizing. That's the one that Fire has gotten a stay on. That's the one that is being, I think, misapplied in the PSC case. But here's one. And of course, Manny is now no longer state senator, but he was on the board of governors and, you know, for the whole system. And now I think the president of the board of governors, if I remember correctly. And now he's the president of UWF. OK, that's just a piece to put in your hat to ponder. The other one is Adam Kissel. Remember Adam Kissel, who has now been removed from the UWF board? Adam Kissel was the one who worked really hard with the board of trustees at UWF to get them certified by fire, to get their, like, big old gold star stamp of approval that this is a university, an institution that is committed to academic freedom. Now, the story happened at PSC. But Adam Kissel has worked, had worked really hard, along with other members of the board, to bring fires, like, again, grade A stamp of approval to UWF for having academic freedom. And do you remember, you may not, but if you've listened to the show long enough, you may remember that when all of the liberals were losing their minds over Adam Kissel, oh, did you see what he said about the GI Bill? Did you see his connections to the, you know, okay, and what did I say about Adam Kissel? Adam Kissel is a great board member. He's a good board member. He is doing excellent things. He is misunderstood. He's not the guy you need to be worried about. Turns out the guy we need to be worried about was Zach Smith, which I have said ever since I figured that out. So at UWF on the board, we got rid of a guy who was in favor of exactly this kind of intellectual freedom that FIRE is advocating for and got UWF pushed along that path. And instead they kept, well, the governor kept, the guy who is in there informing on people and, at least I think so, and getting people removed and would be the one who is, you know, definitely doing a dance of celebration that we didn't publish the pro-gay stuff in you know, whatever this publication is. So just, you know, that's kind of all the pieces to put together so you understand the various dimensions of this story. And as always, if you're going to understand a story, you got to put the viewpoint on the other foot. You know, how would you feel if it were your viewpoint in favor of, you know, don't judge this as a pro-gay thing. Think, how would you judge it if it were, you know, say a pro-traditional morality or even anti-gay? You know, would you judge it differently or the same? You should judge it the same because viewpoint discrimination is not the business of a public institution. 625 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Looks like everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty are just extremely good at this. 209 homes sold last year. That's 4 week on average. Now, in the peak of the market, you know, a couple of years ago when everybody was, you know, hey, here's a home for sale, buy it. You know, that was kind of like the way you sold homes. They sold well over 200. But then, obviously, interest rates changed, markets changed, the economy changed, people started to become more reluctant, held on to things, and it got harder. And so sales dropped, okay, 175 and then 165. But then last year, back up to 209. You say, what's the difference? I don't know. Ask her. It's not that everybody's doing well. The market is still down, and they are doing well. How? They figured it out. And they had figured it out. But it just works in a market where other real estate agents are maybe not as successful at getting things sold. They're managing to make it work. Sometimes people come to them after having another realtor, a second realtor, a third realtor, even, and I know this sounds crazy, but one case where somebody had seven realtors and couldn't get a house sold, and she was the eighth realtor and sold the house. My point is this: expertise carries value, and expertise comes from experience, which is repetitions, which is four homes a week or three homes a week, you know, on average, again and again and again. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, 786-3996.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Attention on deck, Pensacola. Mark your calendars for the Pensacola Navy Day celebration, May 8th through the 10th, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union and the Pensacola Ice Flyers. As the cradle of naval aviation, Pensacola's relationship with the military runs deep. This exciting event celebrates our ties to the armed forces, honoring those serving at Naval Air Station Pensacola and beyond. Navy Days kicks off on Friday, May 8th, with a golf tournament and black tie night at the museum gala at the National Naval Aviation Museum. On Saturday, May 9th, don't miss the 4K run walk and patriotic parade through downtown Pensacola. The festivities continue at Plaza de Luna with a family fun fest. And Sunday, May 10th, join us at Museum Plaza for a special Modern El Dorados concert presented by the City of Pensacola. Join residents and visitors alike in celebrating over two centuries of Pensacola's ties to the world's finest military forces. Visit PensacolaNavyDays.org for details, lodging specials, and how to get involved.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing ABC at the Fish House, featuring new spring menus at Jackson's and Angelina's, celebrate Mother's Day at Great Southern, celebrate Juneteenth at Five Sisters, and the 12th Annual Craft Beer Festival at the Fish House. All tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Everything's going to happen for me, just as long as they never have no in my heart.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Yes, yes. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline maybe for us. David?
Well, tensions high around the Strait of Hormuz, where President Trump says half a dozen Iranian fast boats have been taken out by the military. The Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, is expected to have a press conference later this morning.
And big surprise, we successfully defended against the Iranian attacks yesterday, and in fact, no missiles hit any U.S. ships.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth and the Joint Chief Chairman going to give an update on Operation Epic Fury and Project Freedom after the regime fired on U.S. vessels and targeted the UAE with missiles and drone strikes.
This comes as the United States is working to guide ships out of the Gulf through the Strait of Hormuz as part of Project Freedom. I spoke yesterday with President Trump, who told me that if Iran attacks U.S. vessels in this area, they will be, quote, blown off the face of the earth.
Fox's Trey Ying. Shots were fired near the White House yesterday, briefly putting the area on lockdown.
The suspect fired his weapon after being confronted by officers. A juvenile bystander was hit by a bullet. A uniformed Secret Service officer shot the suspect near the Washington Monument. He's been transported to a local hospital.
And that is Fox's Mike Emanuel reporting. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now it is 56 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. We'll get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola is about to get a national spotlight when American Idol films Keila Richardson's hometown celebration on Wednesday. Richardson did secure her top three spot last night, with back-to-back show-stopping performances, including a duet of Stevie Wonder's Living in the City with Taylor Hicks.
A boy's born in hard-time Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't too pretty. His parents give him love and affection, moving in the way, moving in the right direction, living just enough, just enough.
And, of course, both of Keila's performances last night getting high praise from Idol judges. Now Pensacola preparing for Keila Fest Wednesday. That'll bring, of course, national television exposure to the area. Mayor D.C. Reeves did say he wants it to be the best Idol homecoming that's ever been filmed. There'll be a parade down South Palafox, followed by a free concert at the Hunter Amphitheater. Pensacola's airport moving to fill the void left by Spirit Airlines and the abrupt shutdown over the weekend. Spirit did reportedly account for just about 7% of the seats flying in and out of Pensacola. Officials say that other budget airlines, Breeze and Frontier, have already stepped in to cover some of Spirit's routes. Pensacola does still have seven other airlines to choose from, and officials say passenger growth at the airport is still ahead of last year, even with losing Spirit. Well, a Pensacola resident wants city officials to bring back a gun buyback program. Now, there hasn't been one here since 2021. The last one ended after about an hour after the funding ran out, $10,000 worth of funds ran out. Pensacola Police Chief Eric Winstrom tells Channel 3 that, the effectiveness as far as research goes on those, is mixed, but he does see some value in the concept.
If you want to talk about crime statistics, I don't know that it's back and forth of how effective gun buyback programs are to reducing crime. However, if you're talking about a good reminder to people to safely secure your weapons, and if you do have a firearm that's not secured, that maybe was left to you by a relative, if you're not into gun safety, maybe it is time to consider turning that over, and this would be a very good way to do that.
And a city council member or the mayor would have to sponsor that event before it could be voted on. Public comment is being sought at next week's city council meeting. Well, a Secret Service officer is accused of indecent exposure in South Florida. John Spillman, apparently in court yesterday after Sunday's arrest at the DoubleTree by Hilton Miami Airport and Convention Center. The sheriff's office says he followed some guests to their room, pulled down his pants. Spillman was off duty at the time. The Secret Service called the conduct unacceptable, and he's since been placed on administrative leave. And it's 6:35 here, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives this morning with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. Looks like I-10, I-110 through those construction zones are looking good. Just seeing some minor delay on 98 eastbound as you approach the Windhaven Beach area. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have mostly sunny skies today with a high near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, high near 83. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. For Thursday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 82 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 63. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And we've got 56 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 7. We've got breaking news. Anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Pfizer posted first quarter earnings and revenue that topped estimates and reaffirmed its 2026 outlook as recently launched and acquired products showed growth. The pharmaceutical giant is looking to longer-term investments in its pipeline, including its recent $10 billion acquisition of the obesity biotech Metsera. Maersk said one of its commercial vessels recently transited through the Persian Gulf via the Strait of Hormuz under U.S. military protection. It comes as the U.S. Navy seeks to deliver on President Trump's Project Freedom initiative to free ships trapped by the Iran's closure of the strait. Treasury yields eased slightly this morning as concerns about higher energy costs caused by the Middle East conflict continue to grip markets. Yields on the 10-year Treasury note were seen about 2 basis points lower at 4.4241%. Futures are slightly higher as traders watch for developments in the Iran war. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 557, the NASDAQ down 46. That's your money now.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
I was feeling the same way. After 40, the body has less testosterone, and men lose their edge. That's why I take Nugenix Total T2.
That's the testosterone booster, right?
Yes, but Total T2 is their brand new formula that skyrockets nitric oxide levels in as little as 3 hours. Since I started taking it, I've been lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. My energy is way up, and it even spikes up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yep, just send a text.
Text SPARK to 215215 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the next generation testosterone booster. Text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text SPARK to 215215. That's SPARK to 215215.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Spring is here. Oh yeah, and it's time to warm things up with the new slow smoke menu at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether it's our brisket grilled cheese, the hot link loaded mac, or the amazing new peach cobbler egg rolls, you're sure to love them. Maybe you're throwing a party and need some barbecue catered. We can help with that. Whether you're picking up, need it delivered, or a team to come out and serve. With four locations in the News Radio area, visit sunnysbbq.com to learn more or order today. And remember, it's always Sunny's here.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in Thursday at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Florida State Legislature passing a new congressional map. Cordell Scott's on News Radio 92.3.
Hours after Florida's State House voted 83-28 along party lines to approve a new congressional map, the state Senate did the same.
Record the vote.
21 yeas, 17 nays, Mr. President.
So the bill passes.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me.
I love it.
Love game intuition.
Several people were arrested after a large gathering at Cordova Mall in Pensacola got out of hand this weekend. Officers say 400 to 500 young people showed up at the mall for no particular reason because it was promoted on social media. Now, police increased their presence ahead of time. Let's say the crowd still turned disorderly and several people were arrested. The situation prompted the entire mall to close early.
Yeah, I had had a friend who had seen this. It was there and told me about it on Saturday, and I had a picture or two from them. And then I saw the follow-up with this with Channel 3 and then talking to Eric Winstrom, the chief of police, about the incident. There was, I mean, what I had heard was, you know, fights and sort of small-scale rioting and people vandalizing things, and it was not good, is what I understand. If you were there, tell me what you saw. 437-1620.
You know, even if there are 15, 20 officers next to 500 young people that were, you know, sometimes fighting with each other, sometimes running, creating a very chaotic situation. So it was difficult for us to manage all that. And unfortunately led to a couple arrests, which is important to hold these young people accountable when they do cross that line.
Yeah, battery on a police officer was at least a couple of the arrests, or one of the arrests. 15 juveniles were trespassed from the property. Pretty chaotic. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Eric Winstrom, the sheriff and I, we both took proactive steps to try and identify the posters of the, you know, get together. I believe the sheriff actually met with one of the individuals posting these things about a beach takeover, which mitigated that. Fortunately, the flyers were taken down, but word unfortunately had already gotten out through, even though the flyers were taken down, about Cordova Mall. And so, you know, they came there. Then even as the crowd moved out of the mall, it moved to some nearby stores. And some of them actually, I believe perhaps McDonald's and Chick-fil-A, some of them had to close early as well. Pretty concerning. He says, we know that we have to do a little bit more in cooperation with the mall to get together and be on the same page, because we think that should this present itself in the future, we want to have a better response. And I think we're going to get there. Some of that may even be considering at some point in time the mall prohibiting unaccompanied minors, which has become a practice in some other places. Of course, what do you do if 500 of them show up at the same time? That's just not an easy thing to manage, no matter how you squirrel it. 642 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I think it's funny that this, like, gun buyback thing that's based on one person doing a social media post, we should have a gun buyback again. call me when it's an agenda item, okay? It was a thing we did a couple of years ago. I thought it was silly then. I think it's silly now. The guns got sold out real quick because there were people. I remember showing up to the event after the guns had already sold out, or the money had already been spent. And, you know, people would show up with, like, homemade guns and, look, I made a gun. Give me the money. You know, just it's so silly. Or non-functioning guns, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, Chief Winstrom is right in his comments that if you've been given a gun and you're not a gun person, or you inherited one from grandpa, you know, I think anybody who's had parents or grandparents pass away, you probably inherited a gun that you don't use, and it's stuck in a shoebox somewhere, you know, in your stuff. And you don't know what to do with it, and you're afraid to travel with it, and you don't want to go to the, I don't know, you could always just go to the pawn shop if you're not sure what to do, or go to the gun store. I mean, the gun store's probably not going to buy it if it's a crummy gun, but, you know, pawn shop will buy anything. I remember selling, you know, my grandpa gave me a gun that was one of those, like, breakaway revolvers, you know, where you break down the barrel from off of the handle, and yeah, I looked it up to see what it was worth. Nothing. You know, does it shoot? I don't know. I'm not going to try it. You know, I'm not stupid enough to put a bullet in that thing. You sell it and see what you can get for it. 4376. I mean, seriously.
You didn't even try it?
No.
Take it to a range and go, you try it first.
I had our neighbor across the street had, who actually wound up becoming my father-in-law's stepfather-in-law, because it's not my wife's actual dad. It's her mom remarried. And I don't know, these modern relationships. Anyway, he had given me, it was an 8-shot, 22 long rifle round. So it was rifle rounds, a little pistol. Mm-hmm. And it was 8 in, because, you know, 22 is pretty small. And I think, maybe it was Magnums now, I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I thought, well, that gun's in good enough shape. I went and shot it a couple times and sold that too. You know, because I don't need it. I'll just use my Glock. That's much more reliable and better and not weird ammunition. Oh, this is kind of fascinating. John.
Yes?
Do you know anybody who's lost weight a lot in the last couple of years?
Yes.
On the drugs. Give me the injection. Give me the shot. Give me the GLP-1 inhibitor, right?
The pill, yeah.
Yeah, or the, no, right. Do any of those people then go off and lose and gain the weight back?
I would say yes.
Yeah, I've known several people who have lost a lot and gained a lot. Yeah, yeah, no, that happens. Okay, so imagine that you're a bride, hypothetically, Johanna Pickens, the bride-to-be.
Johanna.
Okay. And let's say you're a little, there's a little more of you than you'd prefer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You want to look great for your wedding. But the wedding is coming fast. Faster than your ability to diet effectively has been. So what do? You go on the shot and you lose weight. And I'm just making up numbers. But let's say you began at, I don't know, 200.
Be generous.
Okay. You began at 200 and your goal is, I don't know, let's say 150. Okay. You know, not a particularly outrageous goal for a woman of your height.
Oh my God.
But let's say it's a month to the wedding and you've managed to get to 170 and you go for your dress fitting. And they say, here's what fits. And you're like, I'm going to lose 20 pounds by the time of my wedding. And they say, how do you know? And on the shot. And they say, okay, cool. Sign this waiver.
What?
So brides are ordering wedding dresses to the size they intend to be on their wedding day as they are aggressively losing weight on the shot, and the bridal dress sellers are forcing them to sign waivers. We told you you don't fit this dress yet, as you're expecting us to tailor it too small. Because, you know, once you small it, you can't big it again, right? And if you don't fit it on your wedding day, that's on you, baby. They're actually having to, I guess, stock more because of the rapid changes. I don't know. I was reading the story in the Wall Street Journal. It's just fascinating that's where we are, because you can have this aggressive, fast weight loss and what that means for example, women who are trying to look amazing for their weddings. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Johanna. Okay.
Johanna Pickens has traffic on the fives.
All right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on 98 eastbound approaching the Windhaven Beach area, expect about a 5-minute delay in that area. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Somebody texts in, and I remember we had this conversation at the last gun buyback here in Pensacola. Says, what about a gun buyback program where the public can be there to purchase the guns before the government has to spend money on them?
Right, because maybe there's some cool ones.
I mean, commerce, trade, profit, you know, all the things. And then you don't have public money being spent on the guns. Well, the point is not to buy the guns, Andrew. The point is to melt the guns after you buy them, to destroy them, and to get them out of circulation and to solve the crime problem in America. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know what your goal is. Just trying to, you know, I think that if you're going to have a gun buyback event, you should turn it into a gun buyback / you know, gun show.
Why not make money?
Yeah, I mean, let's have guns at the park. Because he did it last time at a park. Right. You know, guns at the park. Guns at the park. You can go sell to the government, or you can sell to, you know, Andrew and John and Lenny and...
in our trunk, yeah.
Yeah, why not? All right, 648 on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are, you know, a year to 3 years young is kind of their sweet spot. Cars that are, you know, one owner, maybe two before you. Like our example, our Honda Odyssey that we bought had one owner. It had a year and like 12 or 13. I just can never remember this 12 or 13,000 miles we bought it at. It was a pre-owned Honda certified that came out of Orlando, came back off of a lease. They couldn't sell it. They put it up for auction. You know, they had like some real strict rule because I actually called the dealership to ask them because you can do, you know, research on cars. And anyway, and they're like, yeah, it's just an auction and, you know, your folks sold, bought it. And I'm cool. All right. So Honda Frontier Motors went down to the auction. They bought it. Put it on their lot. We were looking to test drive that car. It was a great price, the exact color and car and trim level and great condition. So we bought it. Just looking to test drive a car because that's how easy Frontier is. Super, super, super easy. And, you know, we like, you know, asked them to come down on the price and they did. And we asked them, can we take a day to think about it? And we did. And we asked them to come down again and they said yes. And then we said, can we buy a car? And they said yes. I mean, it was like, it was literally just that easy. So I recommend Frontier. It's a great place to work with folks and buy a good quality used car. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid. Installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages. Keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Here's a tale of Tina searching up and down for decent GLP-1s, but got spun around.
Till good RX wrote in, hey, we got something new. GLP-1 prescriptions all FDA approved.
Brand name meds, no flags that are red.
Clear pricing from the start. None of those hidden fees in your cart.
Delivered to your door or pick up same day. Darn tootin'.
Save time and money on prescriptions.
Hot foot it to goodrx.com/weightloss. GoodRx is not insurance.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Somebody please get this man a gun.
Cinco de Mayo, man, and it's Taco Tuesday. Oh, I got a good note. Somebody wanted me to maybe clarify. The gun buyback proposal is not even a city idea. It's the city did do it in the past, but this is somebody on social media is asking us to do this again. And as far as I can tell, it's like one person. And Channel 3 picked up the story, and now it's become a thing. And I'm like, you know, whatever. For all I know, it's the socialists, you know, because they don't want anybody but them to have the guns. All right, let's see. David, you know, that's they don't want surveillance until they're in power, and then they want lots of surveillance, and they don't want anybody to have the guns except them during the revolution. Then afterwards, they want to take them all away. You know, I mean, that's how that works historically. You know, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, good morning. The Supreme Court says its ruling to limit a principal part of the Voting Rights Act can go into effect immediately. That means Republicans can likely get to work now in Louisiana, eliminating black majority congressional districts. The court usually allows a month before decisions like that take effect to give the opposing side a chance to request another hearing.
Or to reaffirm the robustness of the 15th Amendment. That's a different way to say it. I just don't like that phrasing. Go ahead.
Gap co-founder Doris Fisher has died. She passed away over the weekend at the age of 94. Fisher and her husband opened their first Gap store in 1969 in San Francisco.
Wow.
And tensions high in and around the Strait of Hormuz. The president says over a half a dozen Iranian fast boats have now been taken out by the United States military. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth expected to give an update later this morning.
And you remember yesterday we were talking about the Iranians claiming that they had successfully hit ships with two cruise missiles, and we said, well, you know, let's just wait a day and see what
they had the wrong, you know, side.
So it turns out that Americans, you know, American Navy did defend themselves effectively against the attack. They did not get hit. Well, how do you know the Americans are telling the truth, sir? Though I agree with you, this current administration does not always, in every detail, tell 100% of the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
So help you.
I am still going to trust that we didn't lose any American ships to Iranian missiles at the say-so of the Iranians. So, David, thank you so much for the update. Oh, kind of an interesting note on that story, just because I thought it was odd. The patrols that are going on in the Strait of Hormuz, you know, we've transited a couple of our ships, now our military ships, and we're accompanying, you know, other ships. We kind of have offered to accompany them. It's not a very effective way, you know, for mass scale transiting. But what I thought was interesting is that the ships that are going through the strait, the warships, the two destroyers we actually transited through, the two Arleigh Burke class destroyers that transited through the strait, were accompanied by, all right, John, I'm going to test your knowledge here.
Don't. Don't.
So
is it Dora or
no? This is okay. So we've got two Arleigh Burke class destroyers in the Strait of Hormuz in the vicinity, and they have now transited the strait successfully. It's the Truxton, which is 103 DG 103, and the Mason, which is DDG 87.
I knew those,
and they were killing me, and they were accompanied by helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, what helicopter would you think would be accompanying two Navy destroyers? In fact, they carry these typically on board, would be?
Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks, which is the Navy version of the Black Hawk. The Air Force calls it the Pave Hawk. It's, you know, it's, you've seen them a million times, okay? That's not what the story says, although they may be involved. The story says they were accompanied by Apache helicopters.
Ooh.
Now, the Apache is an Army. And therefore, I think it's all Army. I think only the Army has Apaches. So you have Army helicopters accompanying. And remember, you've had the A-10s, right, accompanying also, which is a slow-moving anti-tank weapon. They've been used for all kinds of things. There were two A-10s involved in a rescue mission in Florida on a lake because it's a slow-moving patrol speed. No, you should not get rid of them.
No.
They're fantastic planes. Anyway, I digress. I just thought it was interesting that a couple of Arleigh Burke class destroyers are transiting the Strait of Hormuz being accompanied by Apaches. And here's the one piece I would connect with you. Well, I'll tell you in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
We just all get along.
Because it could have been, you know, could have been Cobras or Vipers, you know, could have been, you know, Seahawks, could have been lots of things, but it was Apaches. Anyway, go ahead.
Brought to you by ECUA, making service easier with the new My ECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. No accidents to report to you. Let's see here. If you're on 98, never mind. If you're on 98, both east and westbound look good. And let's see here. Highway 29 going southbound just south of 10 Mile Road. Expect a 5-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. I want you to put the following in the wild speculation, nevertheless based on some knowledge category.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
I do not have evidence that this is true other than I'm trying to put pieces together. Do you remember a story I did a couple of, I don't know, weeks, month ago, 2 months ago maybe, that they were developing a particular kind of ammunition for the Apache that could be used against drones, that it would be basically like a flak shot that you would shoot out and it would explode, it would be a proximity round, and that they would shoot that out of the Apache's guns at drones? Well, what do we know? We know drones were fired at these ships. We know the Iranians have a lot of drones in addition to having missiles, to some degree still having some of them. Here's my theory. My theory is that the Apaches have been equipped with this. And that's why the Apaches were being used, because they are, in addition to the SeaWiz that the, you know, the DDGs have, that was an additional layer of defense, because you got to have to, you have to be able to move slowly. And the Apache is going to have much better air defenses, especially than just having a Seahawk.
Right.
Right. So anyway, that's my theory. I don't know if it's the right theory or not, but that's my theory. So in any case, yeah, we found out that, you know, they did not succeed, though, of course, that's exactly what they claimed. And we, in fact, sank several of their boats yesterday, which were, you know, attack boats, not necessarily attacking us, but, you know, in the vicinity, attacking menacing other folks as well. 6:59 here on News Radio 92.3. What was the other thing I was going to tell you about with my 1 minute of time left? Fascinating. In China, a court has ruled that you cannot use AI to replace people. There was a guy who was working as a fact checker at an AI company, and they cut his pay. I think it was either 40 or 60%. I can't remember which one. They cut his pay dramatically because he was good at creating the AI, and they used AI to do the fact checking for him. He went to court and sued and won, and they said, yeah, you cannot eliminate human labor through the use of AI. China.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.